Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
What's up, everybody? This is the Toxic King, Rico Hendricks, and you are listening to the MGB Wrestling Podcast. That's only entertaining because I'm here.
This is the MGB podcast episode, and we're reviewing the 1CW Cruiserweight Champion, Rico Hendricks. How are you doing, Rico?
I'm phenomenal, now that you recognize me as the 1CW Cruiserweight Champion.
I'm really tempted to leave that start in. You had a few minutes where you could practice all this stuff and do your introduction.
Yeah.
This tells you, this has been a long time, Rico, since I'm trying to remember. I don't even remember who we interviewed last. It's been at least three. It's been far too long. I know that. So it's good to finally get back into the interviewing mode again. All right, Mason, take it away.
For anyone that doesn't know you, how could you describe your wrestling style or gimmick?
My wrestling style is simply, I'm an athlete. Plain and simple. I'm going to go in there. If you need me to go out there and do a Spanish fly, then I can probably do it. If you need me to go out there and power slam somebody, I'm going to do it. I'm just smart. I pride myself on my ring IQ, knowing ring positioning, so on and so forth, and giving myself the best advantage to win any match that I'm in, and knowing how to take down certain opponents with certain skill sets. So, let's see, if I can make this easy, if anybody's familiar with Kevin Samuels, that's probably a good comparison. But really, I'm just going to be as toxic as I can possibly be. I'm somebody that's going to manipulate you. I'm going to create situations where I'm going to make sure that I'm always getting the upper hand. I'm going to do all the gaslighting and all of that good stuff. So I'm going to make sure that everybody is subject to what Rico Hendricks does. That's really it. And I have this God complex about me where I feel like I need to save all the beta males out there, those out there that are simps and, all of that good stuff. So that's all I do. And it's been working out for me, so I like it.
Did you do any sports in school?
Yes, I did. In high school, I was a football player. Matter of fact, I played football pretty much most of my life, except for probably like my sixth grade year. So I played quarterback most of those years, though. And then I played receiver my senior year, and I wasn't too good at that. And I actually hated high school football at my last high school because I did switch halfway through. And then I wrestled in high school as well, but that was mainly to keep in shape for football. And that was mainly to prepare my body for what I do now. So that was really it. I don't think I did anything else. I should have ran track, though. That's one of my biggest regrets.
How did playing quarterback help you to become a wrestler?
It's more so about the guy who inspired me to play quarterback, which was Cam Newton. And I kind of draw from his personality, and I draw from his charisma and his ability to have people flock to him. And I enjoy being able to emulate that whenever I break through the curtain and just have a good time. And make sure that all, because fans come to shows to escape their reality. And I want to make sure that when they see Rico Hendricks, they're able to escape from, you know, their reality. Although they can draw from it, which is pretty cool when they look at me. And if they're booing me, I want them to think about their boss that passed up on them for a promotion. Or if they're cheering me, I want them to look at me as the guy down the street who likes to play football with the little kids out there. You know, that's just what I want to emulate when I go out there.
See, I'm thinking, when I think quarterback, and being from England, we did a little bit of American football, as we call it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking that you've got to have your head on a swivel. You've got to know what's going on all around you. Like, you've got to watch out for that sack that's coming from the side. That's going to be pretty helpful when you're in a multi-man match, when you got like a threat match, or you got a battle royale type match or something like that. That's got to be pretty useful.
That's very true, because you're going to have guys coming at you from every single direction. I didn't even think about that until you said that. That's very true.
Yeah, you got to avoid that sack. You got to avoid that spear in the wrestling ring. Like,
exactly.
That's got to be, yeah.
Exactly.
We saw you at EWA Maryland. So did you start your training at their pain factory?
I sure did. January 2019. That's when I started there. And it was after about 18 million phone calls to Jim Christian trying to get in there. And I finally did. Started paying, started training. And then I officially, when did I get on? I got on my first show September 2000. Is that the same year? Yep, September 2019. Right, so I'm still fairly new to all of this. I'm evolving as we go, but the Pain Factory, it's a great place to start out. I would definitely recommend it for anybody trying to get their feet wet in professional wrestling. It's really good. It's really worth your time.
Now, we've asked generic questions about training before, and it occurs to me now we've done a few of these. What specifically do you do at the Pain Factory? So do you, for example, do your cardio workout at the gym? Do you do all perhaps the weights at the gym and then just focus on strictly wrestling things when you go there? Or is it like the whole package?
It honestly depends who's training that day.
Okay.
I can't even lie to you. There are certain trainers, they'll have you doing a bunch of cardio that day, and then you may end the training session with a little bit of chain wrestling. Then you may hit cardio again. There are certain ones that are more oriented on conditioning, and then there are certain ones that are more oriented on the in-ring work. So that's really it. I've had certain guys have, man, I was just thinking about the man in the middle drill. That was easily the worst drill that I've ever done. And I was blown up, ready to throw up. It was disgusting, but I survived.
What is that? I've never heard of that one.
The man in the middle drill, basically you're running one spot four times and you keep doing it over and over and over and over and over again. And then I think I got to a point where I might have done like maybe six or seven spots four times, and I'm just sitting there like but hey, it helped out, trust me.
Well, that was one of the other things. We talked to Saul. I know you were training alongside Saul at the Pain Factory as well. And I remember one of the things he talked about was the fact that Alexander James was one of the trainers there. I don't think permanently, perhaps he came in for a spot or something. That's one of the things I was going to ask. Perhaps I think you kind of answered it already, but what are some of the differences with the different trainers? Perhaps specifically, what does Alexander James do that's so good that makes him that good trainer?
Right, I was actually trying to leave him out of it, but I guess Saul already brought it up. So no, it's fine. It's fine. Alexander James, one thing I really like about him more than anything is his mind for the business. Granted, he can run you through all the drills that, you know, because he's a trainer over in Germany. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yeah.
With WXW, the mm-hmm. only, he'll tell you this, the only wrestling school to be endorsed by the WWE. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't know that, though.
Right. So he can run, he knows the drills, he knows what in the world he's doing, but I really enjoy the fact that he's able to, break down almost any kind of question that you have about wrestling, period. I've asked him about, hey, what should I charge when I go out? And I've asked, hey, how should I do this move? Like, he has very, detailed answers for everything. That's helped me out tremendously, especially since he surrounded himself with, I'm kind of putting him over a lot, whatever. He surrounded himself with great guys while in Germany in WXW. He always talks about Walter and Ilya Dragunov and Tim Thatcher, guys mm-hmm. like that. So the fact that it's like he's learning from them and passing that knowledge down to us is humbling, really. It's phenomenal.
It came to mind because I saw him on Beyond Wrestling a week ago, and I honestly didn't recognize him. I think he shaved his head, and I was like, that's Alexander James. And then that suddenly, with the interview coming up, and I was like, oh, Alexander James was like part of Pain Factory. So it kind of came together, and I wanted to make sure I mentioned it. Now, one other thing that came up, obviously, we're recording this. We're not quite sure when this is going to come out. We're recording this middle of July. It's pretty hot right now. We've been trying to, on holiday, get out first thing in the morning, because we know as soon as it gets to midday, it's ridiculously hot. I also have a memory, and I think this is probably late 2019, going to the Pain Factory to go and see one of the warehouse wars and being warned, bring your coat, it's ridiculously freezing. What are some of those extremes like then? If you were training for that first year, you probably went through both, right? You went through the ridiculous cold and perhaps the either the fall or the spring, and then the ridiculous heat in the summer as well.
Yes, I've had training days where I've been in full-out sweatsuits. I've had training days where I've been in just biker shorts. So it happens. Specifically, I remember it was a warehouse wars, actually. This was Sweet 16 last year, I think. I wrestled TJ Sykes. Now, granted, I was out of shape because, you know, being at the time, you know, expecting a child and everything like that, I'm sitting at home all the time and, you know, making sure everything's fine. But I put on some weight, and it was 105 degrees in there.
Oh.
It might have been more than that. So I'm running through a match about 3 minutes through. I'm like, oh, my goodness. What happened? But that's not going to happen again. So I made sure of it.
I think I had a few people say once they came back, when you obviously couldn't train because of COVID and things like that. And
right.
So they're back in the ring again. And they, yeah, that first match or that first training session was tough. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. This don't even feel right. And then the extreme cold, obviously, you don't want to. Fortunately, the Pain Factory has heaters. But here's the thing with the heaters, it only goes on the ring. So if you're sitting outside the ring, you're going to be freezing.
Yeah, it was the coldest I've ever been at a wrestling match. I remember that for sure. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Definitely. When and why did you change your name from Rico Diamante to Rico Hendricks?
Dang it! I didn't... All right. I've never been asked that question before, but well, at least on a podcast. I changed the name. When did I change that? It'll click. 1 second. But why did I change it? It was mainly because there's a couple of reasons. Number one, Diamante from LAX. And she was wrestling for Impact, and then she was wrestling for AEW for a little bit. She kind of blew up a little bit, so I was like, that was reason number one. I was like, okay, I mean, I kind of don't want to be associated with her. Although Hendrix is a fair, you got Taylor Hendrix, but I mean, whatever. And then another thing is that my favorite rapper is Future, who goes by Future Hendrix. So I was thinking about that. Jimi Hendrix is one of my favorite artists ever. I was a huge fan for a very long time, so I kept that. And then I just liked it. It started ringing a lot more. And I was like, okay. I just wanted it to seem more, not necessarily common, but something that doesn't seem like a wrestling name, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I didn't want something so outlandish. I wanted something that's like, okay, Rico Hendrix. Like, it just rolls off the tongue a lot better. You don't have to go through them like, what in the world is this?
You didn't want like an 80s WWE thing, like a Ravishing Rico Diamante or something like that?
No.
That's what you're
saying. No.
How did you get your entrance theme Shining Diamond?
It's funny you bring that up because I just changed it. I just got a new one. I got that one because, well, I had Kiss from a Rose first. So it was a remixed version. That was just a placeholder to have in place for my debut. And then I was like, man, I want my own custom song. I didn't know who to go to, and Mason Walls, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. I'm sure you guys are.
Yeah.
He had his theme music. I was like, man, who in the world made that for you? Pointed me to the guy, hit him up. I was like, hey, want my music, so on and so forth. Got that done. Then I evolved my character, and notice I don't use the Shining Diamond thing as much. So I've evolved my character, and then I was like, crap, that song's all about Shining Diamonds. I got to change it again. So then I went to Mouthpiece Studios, Roger McDonald, shout out to him. He dropped my music, and I was in love with it instantly. I liked my last song, too. I put this song out. It's on my Facebook page, actually. But I haven't gotten to use it in an entrance yet. I can't wait to do that. But it was absolutely great. That's how I got it, though.
I seem to remember, we have an indie playlist, and I remembered hearing Kiss from a Rose. And I was like... I knew it was at the Warehouse Walls, and I think I asked, put it out to EWA Marin, like, hey, who was that? And I think they told us it was you. And I didn't make that connection at all. So we're going to have to add, it sounds like we've got a couple more we can add in there then, Mason. We'll have to go check out your Facebook page in a little bit to go find.
It's actually on YouTube. Just type in Mouthpiece Studios. It's probably the most recent video. Or on SoundCloud, same exact thing. Mouthpiece Studios, most recent.
We saw you at 1CW recently defending your Cruiserweight title. How long have you been wrestling there, and can you tell us about the match when you won that title?
I've been wrestling with 1CW since February of 2020. My first match there, insane. I did not expect it. I was just showing up with Saul and Chris in the car, and I was booked in the main event in a 5-way match for the 1CW Heavyweight Championship. I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, all right. Thanks. So that went pretty well. Had a pretty good showing. And then I think I took a little hiatus from there, obviously, because COVID got really bad next month. And then, you know, booking started slowing down. He started running a few tapings. Couldn't make it to tapings. My work schedule was a mess. And You know, I came back not too long ago, actually. I think it was in, like, March of this year.
I think they had, yeah, I think we went. I think we went to the second show. I don't think we could, I can't remember why, but.
Now, when I won the Cruiserweight Championship, I was against Tim Taylor. Tim Taylor was Cruiserweight Champion for a minute, and they wanted to give me the ball. Did, and ran with it. The match was really good. I enjoyed it. Got the reaction I wanted at the end. Every defense after that, I've gotten the reaction I wanted, so been great. I've been having fun. I don't think I've been champion 100 days yet. I'm close, though.
That's pretty impressive. You debut an event, and you get to main event, and you get to win the title. Man, that's got to be
Mr. Grimm hits kind of hard, so. Nah, I love him, though. He's great.
How do you and Derek Benesch begin to work together?
He actually, did I hit him up or he hit me up? I don't remember. Somebody hit somebody up, and we started bouncing ideas off one another, and he was explaining how he always wanted to be a manager, and I was like, hey, why not? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? So then he started wearing the shiny suits and stuff. I was like, I like this. Let's run with this. And then there's more dimensions to the character. He's been doing good. And then we got into what we do now where we put the podium out, and he starts cutting promos, telling people that they're disgusting and their children are failures, and I love it. And nobody knows this, but like while everybody's booing the crap out of him, and he's as serious as can be, I'm behind the curtain cracking up every time. I can't help it. It's just hilarious. Oh man, I can't wait till we do it again. I really can't.
We arrived a little late for that first 1CW show, and we're right in the back row, and Mason's getting his notes out, and I'm getting my phone out, because we took some pictures, so we knew who was in the matches, because we knew we were going to review it. And suddenly, I feel this water on my leg, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, is it raining?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a leak in the ceiling? And I look up, and he's there swinging his... I don't know if it's holy water to try and purify the crowd.
It's pimp juice. That's what it is. You're being healed by the juices of Rico Hendricks. That's what it is. I'm healing everybody.
How is your legal team doing to overturn the ladder match at 1CW?
Oh, man. They're doing all right, I guess. We've been working on it. Honestly, I don't know how much more of a fight we have left legally. 1CW, they have some pretty good lawyers, too. So, I guess... I may or may not have to compete in this ladder match. They didn't say anything about me not walking out. I might just leave because I don't like ladders. I don't think people get that. I have a medical condition, so I think that's got to be somewhere in the contract. We're reviewing things right now because if I have a medical condition, it's only right that I don't have to get up that high in the air.
On Twitter, you said you would learn how to use ladders, responding to Saul's comment. What have you been doing to learn how to use a ladder?
Recently, I've been trying to get things off the top shelf in my mom's house. That's been helping out a little bit. Every now and then, I go to the playground, and I start to climb those, the little ladder next to the slide and stuff.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get that just to get used to it, and I start to slide down just to get used to not the impact, but the falling feeling just in case, you know. Got to get my body ready. My daughter, she's 1 year old, so I've been climbing the little Tykes playset thing. That's been helping out, and that's really it so far. Now, when it comes to hitting people in the face with ladders, that's next.
Now, we were supposed to. We thought we were going to see you last weekend. I saw the post on Facebook. Susquehanna, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes.
The wrestling company there, and we're like, hey, yeah, we're going to see you there. We saw you had a match against the debuting Grimy Scots. We're real excited. Totally forgetting we actually had tickets for MLW that weekend because we'd bought them like 2 months in advance. So we didn't get to see that. So what can you tell us about that? We missed that whole event, unfortunately. That was one we were Grimy Scots we interviewed last year as well. So we were really looking forward for this one.
The match
How did it go?
Right. The match itself went really well. I was pretty happy with that. I mean, unfortunately, the wrong team won. But I did turn on Jason Andrews at the end, and that felt so great because I'm tired of dancing around. It's a big-time rush with him. That is not who I am, and I don't enjoy it at all. I was just doing it trying to win a tag team championship, and clearly Jason Andrews is not the guy to do that with. As far as the event as a whole, the Gauntlet for Glory at the end, the main event, the crowd was white hot for that. That crowd is white hot for everything, though. I really love working there.
Nice.
Probably one of my favorite crowds between them and C3W, but I haven't been to C3W in a minute, so it's them right now. Their crowd is hot for everything. What else happened?
Maybe just over 2 hours from us, which that's kind of right. We don't mind traveling a couple of hours. Like, that's not a big deal for us. Like I say, we'll put some music on, drive up. So we'll try and certainly get to some other ones. But we thought, since you were here, since we didn't get to go to it, it sounded like the perfect time. Jason Andrews, doesn't he tag with, is it AK Willis at 1CW?
Yeah, they're a team named Art of War.
I think AK Willis was there as well, I think. I think he was fighting.
Yeah, AK Willis freaking killed it. I'm putting him over. I don't care. AK Willis freaking killed it. Against Bro Keller and Action Andretti. Oh my goodness. I was like, we got to follow that. Like, I didn't. I was sitting there. If anybody ever doubted AK Willis before, just go ahead and watch that match. Because people look at Bro Keller, like, Bro Keller is a little more recognizable. Like, they know who he is around here. Action Andretti, same thing. But then it's like, AK Willis, it's like, he may not be as known as those two guys, but like, that match, it should have definitely helped him out a lot.
And that match is on YouTube because I saw Bro Keller post about it on Facebook. So I haven't got to watch it yet, but that's one I'm going to watch. We'll put that one in the episode notes. So if people want to check out that, they can go follow that.
Right.
Have you ever had any injuries that made you take time off wrestling?
Yes. Three, I think. I might add more as I'm talking about it.
But we'll at least three. It.
So there was a few that happened in training. My left Achilles tendon had a minor tear in it. And I was out for, I think, 3 months. Yes, 3 months. It was like the tear was like that big. But the reason that they called it a tear is because of the amount of inflammation that was around it on the x-ray. It was atrocious. I couldn't put any kind of pressure on it. I was in a boot and it hurt and it sucked. Then my right Achilles tendon, I messed up. I was out. I think I just sprained that one. I didn't tear it. I was out for like 2 months on that one. I broke my nose in Evolution 2000, It was Last Rites 2019. So the show after my debut. Six-man tag match. Eddie Bloss at the top rope. We're supposed to catch him. My face caught him.
Ouch.
Then his knee came right down. Just went, split it right in half. That's 1, 2, 3.
The other one I want to ask you about, because I saw somebody ask this on Twitter, and I hadn't even thought about this. They were talking to, they know a few deathmatch wrestlers, and they were talking about, like, what happens when you get injuries, like, when you go to the hospital or whatever, like, do they ask you weird questions, because obviously you've got some strength. Now, that wasn't particularly what I, because I know you don't do deathmatches, as far as I know.
Absolutely not.
One of the things they talked about, though, is they talked about that someone said, like, hey, if we got stitches, we just don't go because we don't have medical insurance. We just get super glue. So I was kind of, all right, you're pulling a face of this. I was wondering if this was like a common thing in wrestling, like you have to kind of do your own DIY. Like if you have injuries, you kind of have to come up with some special. All right. I'm guessing not then from that. Perhaps that's
I'm
just
hoping everybody that isn't making a living doing professional wrestling has a job with benefits.
Okay, all right.
I would hope so. Literally can go to patient first. I would hope that people aren't, that's insane.
Okay, that's what I kind of thought, but it was like, okay. I know sometimes, like, obviously, there's a huge difference between what the wrestlers know and what the fans know. Things that go on behind curtain. And I just wondered if that was one of those things that it was just like, we have no idea what actually goes on when there's injuries. Those deathmatch wrestlers are they're in a slightly different world.
That's not what I'm talking about. They're a little different. They're a different breed. I don't do that.
Do you have any cool PG locker room stories?
I'm glad you added PG in there.
Hey. Yeah, my first match ever. I was actually chilling in the locker room. Getting dressed, minding my business. Then I see this tall figure come in. And it's crazy because we're actually close in height. I think he might be a little taller than me. But anyways, Elijah Burke walks in. And I'm like, oh, Elijah Burke's here. Oh, that's pretty cool. Go back to changing. And then I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I looked up to this guy. You know, I tried to play it cool because I looked up to him ever since I was about, what, 12 years old? Because the Pope character, loved it in TNA. Yeah. I was like, yes, this is great. So then, you know, go up to him, hey, how you doing? Playing it cool, being normal. That was the day I was wrestling Eddie Blass. So I wrestled the match, went back to the curtain. You know, everybody, yeah, good job, good job, good job. Elijah Burke is standing next to the door with his arms folded. I was like, did I just poop the bed and didn't even know about it? And then I was like, hey, man, this was the idiot in me. I was like, hey, what'd you think about the match? Just not even thinking about it. I'm just being excited, just trying to ask for advice. But at the same time, I'm like, he's ready to tear this thing apart. And he sure did. He looked at Chris, who's the promoter there. He was like, hey, man, you mind if we take him to the side? He was like, no, no problem. He's like, cool. He pulls me into the locker room. This man talks to me for about 20-something minutes about my match. And he was like, honestly, he didn't have to do that at all. So I'm very thankful for that. And I still use his advice in my matches now. So that was pretty cool. The fact that he took his time apart to do that, even though I probably shouldn't have just walked up and be like, hey, what's your name about my match?
I get the feeling, I can't remember who it was who we talked to, Mason, but somebody said a similar thing with Adam Cole. And they were like, hey, tell us what you thought. I sent them a video, I think, just of his match. And he's like, and he sent all this stuff back. It seems like people, I'm not sure if that match was in Maryland, but we've had a few people like in Maryland, like the wrestlers have been like really cool. Like, hey, can you offer me some advice? They've been, that's awesome.
Most wrestlers that have status like that are the nicest people ever. It's the people that are not of that status that think they are that are the ones that are like, I don't want to be around them. Like, who else have I met? I met, well, Sonny Kiss, that was in passing, but cool as a fan. I just met Hernandez, coolest dude ever. Like, a lot of these guys are like, they're really down to earth and everything like that. They're nothing, I mean, they don't carry themselves as superstars, quote unquote, but they are because they draw that attention to them. Mm-hmm. But they're really great.
What has been your favorite match you've wrestled in your career so far?
I want to say probably against Cole Carter, the second one. I think that match there kind of gave me this newfound confidence that I needed. Because granted, he was on AEW Dark and on Dynamite. So it was like, okay, he's that caliber wrestler. He's making waves on the independent scene right now. He's from Pennsylvania, so he wrestles with IWC. That's the school that Britt Baker came out of and Wardlow came out of. So he's doing good things up there. He's getting bookings all over the place. He's got a UK tour coming up. I'm like, okay. So this guy is clearly something special. I want to see if I can hang in there with him. The first time we wrestled, it was okay. Like, I think it was more of us trying to get to know one another. But the second time, it just felt so natural. It's like, boom, 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 boom. The crowd was hot for it. I'm like, yes, this is great. He won, though, but Cole Carter, if you end up listening to this, I want a rematch because I'm 0-2 against him right now. I need to get my one at least. It's like a rock stone cold kind of deal. I need my one.
Do you have any weird food combinations you like to eat?
I think Saul's was something like ice cream and hot sauce, if I remember, or something.
See, that's why I don't like him, because he does stuff like that. But I'm skinny, but I'm a big boy at heart. I put ketchup on eggs. I mean, that's pretty.
See, I think that's normal. When I first came to the States about 20 years ago, I was on a field trip with a bunch of 8th grade middle schoolers. And first day it was breakfast and they brought it all out and they had the eggs there. And I'm like, is that ketchup? The looks that I got from people for asking for ketchup with eggs, I had no idea what that was all about. Seems perfectly reasonable. I think that's perfectly normal.
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it. What else do I eat? I eat a lot of things. I couldn't say. I'm a really good cook, though. I will say that. Phenomenal.
If there isn't anything, that's fine. But we like to try all these different things. We've tried peanut butter on a burger. I think
who buys that?
I think it was Canadian. Bo Crockett. It was when he was in Canada. He said that they tried it there. And I've heard other people go, oh, yeah, that's pretty normal in Canada. I was like, okay, that's not normal. It's certainly not normal in England.
That would probably make me throw up.
I feel like one of the weirdest ones I would be too scared to try on with was chocolate sauce on steak.
Oh, that sounds like a waste of a steak. Yeah, I'd forgotten that one.
You can't destroy. How do y'all eat steak, though? Let me make sure y'all not psychopaths.
How do we cook it? Are you talking about that? I like it well done, so you're probably going to disapprove of that.
Yes, I do disapprove.
I've had a lot of people tell me that that's unacceptable.
My girlfriend does that all the time. Like, she'll get well-done steak, and I just sit there and look in disappointment. I like my medium. I need it right down the middle. I need to see.
That's how I like my barbecue, though. It's like, get me the one that's burnt. Like, that's exactly the one that I want. But, yeah, I've been told that's a real waste of a steak, but hey.
Who was your favorite teacher and subject at school?
My favorite teacher? Oh, man. I have so many, but my favorite, just off the top of my head, her name was Miss Anderson. I don't know if you guys are familiar with what AVID is. With what AVID is?
AVID?
Yes.
Is that an acronym?
Yes, an acronym for, I think it was Advancement via Intellectual Determination. I forgot it. I might be right. I might be wrong. I'm probably wrong. But it was just something that prepares you for college and stuff. And I was in that all through middle school. It was really cool. But Miss Anderson, the reason she was my favorite is because she reminded me so much of my great-grandmother. Because they wore the same perfume. It was kind of creepy. Because my great-grandmother passed, I think, my eighth grade year. No, other way around. It was my sixth grade year. So it's like every time I saw her, she's reminded me of her so much. She was the sweetest lady. She always had candy in her classroom. But at the same time, it's like she always looked after me, too. So if my grades started slipping, she would literally pull me aside and be like, what are you doing? And at the time, it'd be frustrating. I kid you not. One time, I remember this story like it was yesterday. I was talking to these two girls in the hallway doing my thing when I was in middle school. I thought I had it at the time. Miss Anderson comes by and pulls me out of the conversation because she found that I got a D on somebody's test. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, well, thanks. But you know what? I'm thankful for that still at the end of the day. People like that believe in you. It's amazing. Wonder how she's doing. I haven't talked to her in a long time. Long time. She retired my eighth grade year. So that was, how long ago was that? 2013. That was
8 years.
8 years ago.
What advice could you give to a young wrestler?
Be open to everything. Always keep your ears open, your mouth shut. That's probably, and I don't mean that in a way where you shouldn't have an opinion on anything or you shouldn't ask questions. But what I mean is that you should always be ready to learn from every, that's another thing. You should always be ready to learn, but consider the source. Look at who you're learning from as well. That's probably another thing I should say. Because not everybody that's going to try to mentor you is out to help you for real. There are some people that want to, you know, just get a come up off of you eventually. There are some people that just want to say, hey, I'm mentoring such and such. There are some people that just want the ego stroke of mentoring somebody. No. But still, always be respectful, listen, and you'll be fine. And always be open to evolving. Do not get married to one idea. If I got married to my first character ever, and I want to do this move, this move, this move, this move. No, it's a constant state of change. And if I had done that, I'd probably be, I don't know. I forgot what my first character was. My first idea for one. So you definitely want to continue making sure that you don't get stuck in a box. That's it.
Makes sense to me. We know EWM Maryland returns Friday, September 10th. This is the bug plug.
7:30,
the Tall Cedars Hall, Parkville, Maryland. When we asked, like, when we were coming back, I was like, hey, our calendar's totally empty. And then they told us the date, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's literally the only date for the rest of the year we had something on. So, unfortunately, we're not going to be at that one. Do you know your match yet? Probably a little too early. Yeah, that's what I figured. Anybody who you'd like to face on the roster who you haven't already, though?
I have a few. Number one, Saul Esparza, and I need it in a specific environment.
Okay.
I need it in a no disqualification environment.
Ooh.
So we can absolutely tear each other apart. I have been waiting for that for so long. We need time to do it. I'm not saying it's got to be the main event, but we need time, and we just need the people's attention. And I promise you, we'll blow you away. Number two, I want Ill O'Neil. Mr. Cruiserweight Champion. I feel like I could add another Cruiserweight Championship to my collection. It would be pretty cool to do so. And Ill, I feel like the last time I wrestled him, I mean, it went well, don't get me wrong, but I feel like I owe him another one, one that's a little bit better. And that leads me to number three, which is TJ Sykes. I feel the same exact way. I feel like the last time we wrestled, you know, that was when I was dead in the ring. And I was like, nah, I need to run this one back. And I feel like TJ always pushes me to be the best professional wrestler I can be. And it's with tough love a lot of times, but I feel like him and I could tell a story for the ages and it would be great. Granted, we're both heels, so we'd have to find a way to make that work. But the other two, Ill Sol, I'm definitely, yeah.
We would be totally down for seeing both those matches. The thing we love about EW Maryland is when we can't make it, so Friday's normally difficult anyway, just because I-95, yeah. Anyone who knows I-95, trying to travel from south of DC up to Park, it's just not doable.
It's a mess for the wrestlers too.
Yeah, it's just so difficult to do. But yeah, unfortunately, they do have their wonderful YouTube channel. And as far as I can tell, they always seem to post the matches.
A little bit later,
a week later, 2 weeks later. But I can always catch up on any event that we don't get to see. So if we do get to miss any of those, I know we can catch up on that.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing I hate about promotions. When I go somewhere else and they take like 6 years to post their stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, some groups it's really difficult to see stuff, and like the fact that Susquehanna as well, the fact that they released that match with K. Willis, I was like, that's great. That makes me now want to, like, hey, I know we missed this one. The next one that we can physically get to, we definitely want to get there. I don't know why promoters don't do that. I would have thought on the indies it would make perfect sense. You want to get that message out to other people who perhaps haven't seen it and go, hey, you want to be here for this next one because this is what we just did at the last one. Yeah.
Yeah, SWO is doing some really special things, though. Shout out to Van Valley. He's doing a great job out there. We got some good stuff coming up. Just know.
Nice.
I'm very excited for what's going forward, especially since I just turned on Jason Andrews. My guess is that I should be getting in the ring with him soon.
Yeah, sounds like there's unfinished business there for sure.
And I think Jason Andrews versus Rico Hendricks may be an underrated match that may surprise some people.
I've just realized, Mason, I think we've picked up on this on a few of our reviews. Have you noticed that a lot of the people that do tag team wrestling at EWA Maryland tend to turn on each other?
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone we've been to, I can't remember who it was, but Ill O'Neil's first one, person turned on him.
Next
one he's picked up with turned on him. Now we've got Rico Hendricks and Jason Andrews turned on each other. I don't know what goes on in that pain factory, but yeah, there's a lot of tension building up there.
Yeah, we got some hungry guys. That's it.
Where can we find you on social media?
On social media, you can find me on... Oh, crap. Where can you find me? My Twitter, at Rico Hendricks Pro. My TikTok, at Rico Hendricks Pro. Instagram, Rico Hendricks Pro. Yeah, those three. My Facebook is just Rico Hendricks. That's really it. I'm not that exciting.
Hey, there you go. That keeps it easy when they're all saying, because it's annoying when someone steals it and you got to have like Rico _ Hendricks and real Rico Hendricks. And so that's good.
Rico Hendricks Pro. That's all we got to do. Have it nice and simple.
Thank you for appearing. We hope to see you at 1CW. Well, we're excited to see you at 1CW soon.
I'm excited to see y'all there, too. Hopefully, I don't get booed out the building. Well, I will get booed out the building, but this will be fun.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http:// creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.